This is Digital Story Podcast number 617, January 9th, 2018. Today's theme is Beer and Roaming in Las Vegas. I'm Derek Story. The Consumer Electronics Show is one of the few remaining technology events where press still receives the red carpet treatment. We enjoy a well-stocked media center, excellent PR events with substantial refreshments, and lots of access to the stars of the show. And this week I'm going to take you behind the scenes as we junket together to CES. So the day that I'm going to share with you is actually the day before the show. So, and the way that it works here at CES is that press usually comes into town about a day and a half before the show actually opens. So the show opens on Tuesday, which is probably when you'll be hearing this podcast. We get into town on Sunday. There are events on Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening, and then all day Monday, Monday evening, and then Tuesday, we all head out to the Las Vegas Convention Center for the show itself. But I think it's really interesting what happens on Monday, which is the day before the show. And it's funny, I've always liked the day before the show or the night before the event or all that kind of stuff. By hanging out here and, you know, talking to the vendors where I actually get to talk to them, going to the press events, getting a feel for what's going on, then when I actually hit the trade show floor tomorrow, I have some idea of what to do. And on these events, if you don't have a plan going into them, they will bury you. You will be overwhelmed. You will be just like, oh my God. And especially CES, because it is all of the Las Vegas Convention Center. And if you've ever been there to the Las Vegas Convention Center, you know how big that is. So Monday, I thought, would be an interesting day to talk about. Now, first of all, there are a lot of press badges here. I mean, it's insane. There are more press attending CES than there probably will be participants at WPPI or Imaging USA or some of the other trade shows that will go on this year. There is a ton of press here. And actually, the photo that I'm running with the podcast is very interesting. It's one of the press events that happened today, the Samsung one, which people just go nuts over the Samsung event. I mean, that press event draws so many people. They start lining up for that event the way we used to line up for Steve Jobs' keynote. And there is this mass of humanity by the time the ballroom doors open and we can go in. So I photographed this today just to show you that all of these people in this photograph are press. And this isn't even all of the press that's at CES. So the press events are like a conference unto themselves. Seriously, I mean, we could have our own conference on Sunday and Monday that would overshadow most of the conferences that I go to the rest of the year. So this is craziness. And CES is totally ready for it. They are. So we start out at Mandalay Bay. We're not out at the convention center today. So I walk to work in the morning and I get a place that takes me about 20 minutes to walk over to Mandalay Bay from where I stay. So that's nice. I actually enjoy that, you know, get some fresh air. It's been raining here in Las Vegas, but it wasn't raining when I went to work. So the air was nice and clean. It was actually a great morning. So I do the walk and I get over to Mandalay Bay and I go through like the main entrance. In fact, I did a shot on Instagram. That is just crazy. It's so Las Vegas. It's so over the top. But, you know, right away, you know, okay, here I am. I'm at the big show. Okay, I'm in crazy land, right? So I go in, and first thing I had to do was go up to the press office and take care of some business. Now, this press office, this isn't just some little room that's, you know, on the second floor. The press office is like a ballroom that is filled with people. There are desks, there are workstations, there are couches, there are chairs, and there are a lot of people. Along the back side of the wall, they have a coffee and tea service. They have water and soft drinks, and they usually have a nice supply of like fruit and muffins and things like that. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but when you're talking about thousands of people that, you know, you're taking care of, this is a constant flow of blueberry muffins coming out of the kitchen out onto the tables. So I start out in the press room, and I wanted to do some postings. I had done some shooting earlier that morning. I wanted to get some stuff up online. And so I'm just working away in there like everyone else. I'm having a water first, because you have to drink a lot of water here in Las Vegas. And then I got into some coffee, and then I had some fruit, and it was pretty cool. So very nice conditions. I was sitting on the sofa that was very comfortable. So I got my work done, and I decided then that I was going to go to a couple of the PR events. So what happens is we have a schedule available to us of the people that are doing press events, you know, presentations that day. Now, those presentations happen there in Mandalay Bay in these giant ballrooms. I mean, they are really big. So, you know, I take off, you know, wandering around, and, you know, sometimes you're going, okay, where do I have to go to find this presentation? Because, you know, there's just like stuff going on everywhere. So I tracked down, the first one I wanted to go to was by Hisense. Hisense makes laser high definition televisions, 4K. And so, you know, you're going, okay, this should be a pretty good show. So I go in there, and it is. I mean, these guys had it together. The whole ballroom had been turned into a theater, and it was crowded, tons of people in there. And one of the things that Hisense is doing is that they're one of the sponsors for the World Cup that's happening in 2018, that's happening this year. So they actually brought out, you know, soccer personalities. They had soccer commentators there, and they did this whole thing. So instead of just having where the vice president comes out and tells you about, you know, their goals for 2018, and then the next guy comes out and tells you about, you know, their product lineup and all that, they ran it like a TV show. So they would have guests, but sometimes the guests would be people from Hisense, and sometimes the guests would be, you know, famous soccer stars. And it was just really well done. It was beautiful. The set was fantastic. It was gorgeous. And I tell you, you know, I've been, you know, resisting 4K televisions up until this point. I mean, we had 4K TVs at CES last year, obviously. And I still have, you know, a standard LED TV that looks really good. But after this Hisense presentation today, I was going, that looks pretty darn good. And then, of course, televisions now aren't just, you know, viewing devices. They're all smart. So they all interact with Alexa. You have apps. You have, you know, all this stuff. They're internet connected, obviously. And a lot of times, I think the way that they're being viewed, especially the most current ones, is that they are the center of the digital hub in a lot of people's homes. Obviously, they have audio, not just the little speakers on television, but they have audio systems that come with them. And, you know, it's really a pretty cool viewing experience. So I enjoyed the Hisense presentation a lot. And by the way, it's Hisense if you want to look them up. And if you watch soccer, you'll definitely see them because they're sponsors of the World Cup, and there'll be commercials and banners and all that kind of stuff. So that was what I consider a good press event, because it was informative. It was entertaining. I didn't go in there really thinking that, hey, I'm going to cover 4K televisions this year, but it was so good that, you know, now I'm talking about 4K televisions. So it was pretty good stuff all the way around. So then next, I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the next press event, but I'm going to take a lunch break in between. So the next one I wanted to go to was TCL, and they're a Chinese company that also make high-definition 4K televisions. And they're an up-and-comer also. They have been making way in the market here in the U.S. and across the world over the last probably about 8 years or so. So I went back to the press room, and they had this mountain of box lunches. I mean, it was tables, just, I mean, it was a football field long, it felt like, of box lunches, and they had all sorts of stuff. I got a chef salad, and I wasn't quite ready to eat yet, but I wanted to have it. And I got my little clear backpack from them. All the press gets some sort of backpack, and you know, you get some tchotchkes in it and so forth. So I grabbed my box lunch and grabbed a water, and then put it in my little clear backpack, and then headed off for the TCL presentation. And I was going, okay, this is going to be neat, because TCL is a competitor of Hisense. So I was really feeling like there's going to be like this, you know, boom, boom, this 1-2 punch kind of thing. And I was going, oh, I didn't even dream I was going to be into 4K televisions on this. And here I am in the middle of this, you know, tug of war. So I'm hanging out in the TCL room, and one thing that was kind of neat is they had swag bags that had like water and moleskin pads and stuff like that in it. So that was pretty neat. So I'm hanging out there, and I'm waiting for the show. The set's pretty good. It's not quite as nice as Hisense, but it's a pretty good set. And they come out and start their show, and oh my gosh, it was agonizing. It literally was, here's the vice president that's going to tell you, 10 years ago, I said that we would do this. 8 years ago, I said we would do this. 4 years ago, I said that we would do this. So how did we do? I mean, I'm not kidding. That was the speech. Then they did have a presentation from the guy that's in charge of, you know, their green initiative, which is really cool. They want to make it within the next couple of years that you can recycle a TCL TV at any state in the U.S. And they'll have a recycling program for you in that state. It could have been shorter, but it was pretty good. And then they go into talking about the products. They brought out their audio partner, and that was a really stiff interplay. Maybe they had practiced it. I don't know. Mark Twain has a quote that it takes about 3 weeks to prepare for an impromptu speech. it's true, though. It's true. It's absolutely true. So anyway, I'm entertaining myself at first by taking pictures. And, you know, there were some pretty good visuals in there, and taking pictures of people doing their thing, you know, shooting with their iPhones and stuff like that. But after a while, I'd gotten everything that I need to get, and I couldn't last that whole press event. So I had to bail on that one, and it just really stood out to me how different it was from the one that I had been to earlier in the day, the Hisense one. And that's been my experience at CES. Some of the press events are absolutely fantastic, and some are like, do you guys ever go to a really good press event and know what happens at one? Because you should, and you should take notes, and then you should do something like that here. Instead of just marching out a bunch of executives that is going to tell you, you know, sort of their company report. So after that, then I wanted to go to, you know, there are some smaller rooms that have some stuff going on. So I went and explored that. I hung out around the Samsung line for a while, not because I wanted to go to the Samsung event, but because I wanted to photograph this ginormous line, because I knew it was going to be a good shot. So I did that. And then I took a break. By this time, I'm into late afternoon, and I had an evening event. So I decided to, oh, we got some sirens in the background here. So I wanted to take a break and get some work done so that I would be fresh for the evening event, because the evening event was the Pepcom digital experience at the Mirage Hotel, which is about 3.5 miles away from where I was. And fortunately, we have Uber now in Las Vegas, as well as the taxis. So you have a lot of options for getting around. I make it up to the Mirage and in good shape. And the Uber fare wasn't bad at all. It was only about $10 from where I was during a busy part of the evening when it was raining to boot. So I was pretty happy about that. And this is the one event that I really look forward to, because they really pick great vendors, so like 100 vendors. You have Canon, you have Nikon, you have Polaroid, you have some new folks. You have a wide variety of stuff, everything from, you know, home automation, brand new, you know, digital locks, robots, audio, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, just a very nice spectrum of stuff. And you have access to all these people. So, for instance, tomorrow, if I wanted to go talk to these very same vendors, I would have a very hard time getting their attention, because the trade show floor is just going to be nuts. But tonight, I could walk right up. A lot of times, I know some of these folks because, you know, I've been seeing them over the years. And I can have a conversation with them, you know, where I can ask them questions, I can take notes, I can experience product demos, all that kind of stuff. In addition to all of this, which is fun, you know, the tech side of it is really enjoyable. They have refreshments everywhere. And all you have to do is go up and say, you know, I want a beer, I want a soda, I want a glass of wine, I want a cocktail, and they just hand it to you. So it's no pay, you know, it's a host bar, and then they set up food everywhere. Everywhere you go, every aisle has some sort of food at the end of it, and they're always working off a theme. The theme tonight was tailgating, I believe, because guess what? Yeah, the national championship game for college football was playing. So they went with the college football theme, and it was fun. So, you know, they have, you know, little footballs, and they have, you know, little pennants from all the different schools. Obviously, they had the football game on there. A lot of the food was tailgate food. So stuff like dogs and burgers and, you know, things like that. And the whole atmosphere was, you know, just, it was like a giant tailgate party for nerds is what it was. It was really crazy. Some of the things that I saw that I liked, some of the conversations that I had, I thought, let me give you a few of the things that I liked right now. You know, one of them was the Polaroid Pop. And I had seen reports about the Polaroid Pop, and what they did with this device, what Polaroid did with this device is kind of neat. They brought back the standard Polaroid look, and they use zinc technology for that, for the instant printing. It has basically a 4-inch LCD touch screen display, and it's a very nice display. A 20 megapixel CMOS sensor. Then you can do things like, you know, edit, rotate, draw on the photos, because it is a touch screen. You can record video with it, 1080p video. You can record 15 second GIFs. Has Wi-Fi, has self timer, has a photo booth mode, which is just really neat. So you could set this up at a party as a photo booth and let people, you know, take pictures and, you know, pop them out and, you know, take home souvenirs. Which I just think is really cool. The images are stored on a memory card, so it takes micro SD cards. And then there's an app that goes with it also for iOS and Android. And it's a nice size. It feels good. I don't know if you've seen a picture of one or not, But it's a nice looking device. It comes in different colors and it's affordable. It's less than $200. And the pictures look pretty good. So, you know, I had wanted to see this, and this is a perfect example of, you know, what I like about press days before the actual trade show begins. I hung out there, took some shots, played with the device, talked with the rep, and, you know, really learned a lot about the camera. Another device that I liked was by Kingston. And they have this new device, and boy, I tell you, this folks that have the new MacBook Pros that have the USB-C connector, they're gonna love this. It's called Nucleum, and it's a 7-in-1 connector, but it looks cool. It's thin, and you can put the Nucleum in your MacBook and then connect USB 3, USB-C, micro SD cards, regular SD cards, the standard USB, you know, 1-in-2 connector, HDMI in the end. So you have this one device that's not very big. It's pretty thin. It's handsome. It looks like it goes with the MacBook, but then you can plug all of your other devices into it. And you've got a great card reader also. So this was really nice. I was happy to see that. And I have a sample, so I'm going to test it too. Another thing that I saw that I liked by LaCie, they have, I even got the little brochure here. It's called the DJI Copilot. And they actually worked on this with DJI. And this is for the folks that want to travel light and leave their laptop behind. It is a storage device that you can put your memory cards in, and the minute you put your card in, the device copies, you know, the contents of that card. What I like about this device that we didn't have in some of the previous devices is that it has this LCD screen, and it tells you as it's copying, and it tells you when it's done, and it confirms that all of the contents are on there. And that is really cool. Then it has a connector so that you can connect it. For example, if you have an iPad, you can connect it to your iPad, and then all the images that are on this device are there, and including the video, it will stream them because it's a hardwire connector with a pretty good I/O. It will stream them, and you can watch, let's say, 4K video that you copied onto the DJI Copilot. You can watch it on the iPad. So basically what you can do is carry the DJI Copilot, carry an iPad, and that's it. You know, then, and you don't even need the iPad unless you want to watch your stuff. If you just want to back up your cards, you can do that. By the way, they have 2 terabytes of storage, and then it has, you know, all sorts of, you know, kind of cool stuff. It has different connectors, so if you don't have an iPad, you can use a different connector for an Android device, you know, all that good stuff. It has a built-in power bank to recharge mobile devices. It's nice. And oh, by the way, it's also designed in an enclosure that is drop, splash, and dust resistant. So that's the DJI Copilot. Now that one isn't out yet. The Kingston product, the hub, that's out right now. DJI Copilot, we probably won't see that till later next month. But it's something to keep an eye on in case, you know, you're one of those folks that want to travel, take a lot of pictures, back them up, but you don't feel like taking your laptop on a trip like that. Well, this is a good device. And then, of course, Panasonic came out with their new camera, which I'm going to talk about in the next spot. So that one gets its own spot, but that announcement was today, and Panasonic also had their press conference. I didn't just focus on the photography stuff. I enjoyed a lot of the other products. I tell you, one of the things that I'm interested in are this next generation of door locks that, you know, you don't have the traditional key anymore, or you can have it, but it can be augmented by a touchpad. where you have different ways, you know, to set this thing up, can program it so that, you know, people that even have the code can only get in a certain times of day and stuff like that. And these locks are really nice, are very robust. There was a number of different ones by all the lock companies that, you know, you would imagine. So there's a lot of stuff like that that wasn't super revolutionary, but you're going, that's kind of neat. That's kind of neat. I sort of like that. Now I think I have enough stuff to file my first report. I'm taking pictures the whole time. And by the way, I was shooting with the Olympus pen, and I shot a lot with the Rokinon 7.5 f3.5 millimeter lens this morning because I was in these big ballrooms and stuff. And I love that lens. That lens is fantastic. By the way, one of the things that you can do with the Olympus pen is set up a lens profile for that lens, because it's a manual focus lens. You can set up a lens profile for that, and then you put all the information in the lens profile, and then it writes that metadata to the file so that you get lens metadata for basically a non-Olympus lens or a non-Panasonic lens. So that's pretty cool. So I shot with that a lot. I shot with the Olympus 17mm f1.8, but then for the evening event, I took the Olympus 45mm f1.2 and shot with that. And oh, that was fun. Okay, that was good stuff. And then, of course, I shot with my iPhone 10 too, in part to capture the metadata and then also to post to Instagram and Facebook over the course of the day. So I get back to the room where I am right now. I have all of this content. I have all these pictures. I do a quick sort. I organize my notes. So then I'm going to finish the podcast tonight. It'll probably be fairly late by the time I finish it. Get a little bit of sleep, and then tomorrow morning I catch the monorail out to the convention center, and then we start the show. But it's interesting, as I look at the pictures and as I look at the products that I examined over the last day and a half and the things that I learned and the conversations that I had, I could conceivably leave right now without going to the trade show at all. I have a pretty good feel for what 2018 is going to look like from a consumer electronics point of view. And what we're going to see is that we're going to see a continued evolution of smart home products. Robotics continue to evolve. We're seeing more and more robots. Most of them are specialized doing certain things. We're not to the point yet where we have a full service robot, you know, a total home assistant. But, you know, robotics are really coming along. Drone technology continues to evolve, especially the different ways that you can use drones now, all the way from, you know, lighting from above to surveying to doing things like, let's say that a solar panel company wants to install solar panels on a house or provide a bid. So then they can do a flyover with the drones that have this precise software, and they can create an estimate that's very accurate. Of course, in farming and things like that. So drone technology just continues to go crazy. In the world of imaging and photography, yes, there's some augmented reality for sure. But I have to say, it's not, you know, the heady photography experience that CES was a couple years ago. So there is some stuff, but nothing that really, you know, knocks my socks off. In wearables, there was a lot of really neat stuff in terms of, especially related to health. And then hearing aids. Hearing aids are really going in marvelous directions for folks that have hearing problems. Now and over the next few years, I think is just going to be fantastic. I think hearing aids are making a gigantic leap forward in terms of size, in terms of quality, in terms of the controls you have over them. Really, really beautiful stuff. That's pretty exciting. It's just sort of moving forward on all fronts. So that's a look at behind the scenes on a press day, the day before CES. It's a long day because, you know, we're doing our other work also. But it's an interesting day, and, you know, we're treated well, and we do a lot of walking. It gives us a chance to look into the crystal ball for 2018 and in a somewhat enjoyable way. And, you know, that's all right with me. I'm fine with that. Okay, just a couple other things I want to talk about here. So Panasonic did make a big announcement today. The Lumix DC GH5S. I'm going to pick up a report here from DP Review and just tell you what they have to say about it. It looks like an interesting camera for video-focused photographers. The GH5S uses a slightly larger but lower resolution 12.5 megapixel sensor whose multi-aspect design offers a series of 10.2 megapixel crops with the same angle of view. It gains the ability to shoot the wider angle DCI 4K format at up to 60p, whereas the GH5 tops out at 24p. Both cameras can shoot UHD 4K up to 60p. The sensor features a dual gain design that Panasonic calls dual native ISO. This uses two separate sensor readout circuits, one that maximizes dynamic range at lower sensitivity and one that prioritizes noise reduction at a dynamic range cost. Unusually, Panasonic lets you limit its camera to one of these modes. The DC GH5S will be available on February 2nd for $2,499 body only. And in all honesty, that was the biggest camera announcement today. And for guys like me that shoot mostly stills and a little video, I'm probably not going to invest $2,500 in this camera. For people, though, that are serious video shooters and video bloggers and so forth, this camera is probably pretty darn appealing. But anyway, that was the big news from Panasonic today. Okay, just a couple more things before I sign off and wrap up my evening here. I just want to remind you about the Nimble Classroom series. February, we have Layers in Capture One Pro 11. And I just finished my lynda.com training on Capture One Pro 11. And I spent a lot of time in Layers. And I have to tell you, Layers in Capture One Pro 11 is exciting. They did a great job with this, and I think it's going to be fun to do a whole Nimble Classroom on Layers in Capture One Pro. I think if you haven't been a Layers user, this might turn you on to them. It's that good. So that's on February 10th, and then, of course, on March 10th, we're building your own digital darkroom with photos. Oh, so many good things to choose from. That one's going to be hard for me to narrow down the list, but that's going to be a fun class. And then, of course, in April, we're doing digital asset management with Luminar. You can get to all of these classes through thenimblephotographer.com and then click on classes, or you can go to the workshops page on the digital story at the bottom of it. It'll have a link to the Nimble Classroom series. Sign up now, reserve your space, and you get the videos afterwards. Just wanted to mention, speaking of training videos, that our Patreon members have 3 videos this month, and I want to thank them for their ongoing sponsorship of this show. We love you. We do. And also a big thanks to Red River Paper, our longest running sponsor, and who also stands behind the show and produces some amazing printing paper. You can find them at a tile on every page of the digital story, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Alrighty, I am going to wrap it up here tonight. Hope you enjoyed the behind the scenes thing. I was thinking, all right, how do I want to report on CES this year? This is the approach I took. I hope it was fun for you. I'm working on some great content for next week. Be sure to come back and join me. Have a great week. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.